to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank Gaffney. And this segment, we've got the pleasure of Fred Flights, our own Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs, joining us. Fred, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit. First, about our good friend and ally and the recipient of the reset by Hillary Clinton, Vlad Putin, and all the help he's been giving us in Syria. And it sounds like now we've actually signed a deal with the Russians about deconflicting airspace and some of that. And I wanted to let you know, I actually have a copy of that, and I'm going to read the text of this document real quick, and if I could get your commentary. It says, "Dear Barry, stay the heck out of our airspace. Love, Vlad." Does that pretty much track with what you were expecting from this agreement?
Well, I mean, as much as you joke about this, Jim, I'm afraid that's what it amounts to. Russia basically issued an ultimatum. They created facts on the ground, or let's say also facts in the air. And the president had no alternative. Putin's taking advantage of a power vacuum. He knew the president was doing nothing in Syria and Iraq, and it created an opportunity for him. And he knew that the president would do nothing once Russian troops came into the area.
And that seems to have been President Obama's main strategic methodology, is he will do nothing until someone else acts. And unfortunately, that empowers bad guys all around the world. And in that regard, I wanted to jump to what I think is the biggest problem facing the world right now. The Iran nuclear deal has done some horrifically bad things for security and some good things if you're the mullahs and you're looking to become a regional hegemon. Can you kind of catch us up with some of the latest bad actions related to the deal and what it has basically turned the Iranians loose to do?
Well, I've written about this in a new piece on nationalreview.com and also on our website, securefreedom.org. You may remember in March 2010 when Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, "We have to pass a health care bill so you can find out what's in it." Well, it's ironic she said that, because the Obama administration said in early 2014 that the Iran deal was going to be the second term Obamacare. Well, last month, this deal passed congressional scrutiny, and we're now finding out what's really in the deal. For example, Iran tested a ballistic missile. Now, President Obama said when he announced the deal that there was going to be, Iran would have to abide by UN Security Council sanctions. We're now learning that missile sanctions are not in the deal at all. They're in a separate arrangement in a UN Security Council resolution, which both the Iranians and the Obama administration says that missile tests don't count against the agreement. Then there's an investigation of past military-related nuclear activities by Iran, which was supposed to be part of the agreement. But now we're learning that the Obama administration is claiming that this investigation is not really part of the Iran deal. And the deal and the lifting of sanctions go forward regardless of the outcome of this investigation, which is supposed to be concluded by mid-December. So as I said, just like the healthcare deal, Congress reviewed this agreement before it knew what was in it. Now we're finding out.
There was a point in time where both Obama and John Kerry were crowing about what an amazing deal they were going to negotiate. It would stop enrichment at one point, and then they gave that away in 2012. It would stop any, you know, path to a bomb, and any reasonable path to a bomb. It would have amazing inspections, and they would be anytime, anywhere. And then all of a sudden, all of these bold claims just evaporated. And apparently what we're left with is a piece of paper stamped Obama's nuclear legacy that even the Iranians won't sign. Is there any meat to this deal at all?
I'm having trouble finding it. I might add that the Iranian parliament supposedly voted to approve the deal recently. That's what the Obama administration is saying. That's what the press is saying. Except that's not true. The Iranian parliament passed an amended version of the deal that says the IAEA can't go into military sites and says the purpose of the deal should be to get rid of Israel's nuclear weapons program.
I don't think Netanyahu is going to be too favorable to that, and especially given the extremely cordial relations he has with Obama. I doubt he's going to give away the Israeli nukes right at the same time Obama is helping the Iranians build theirs. But so nobody's really signed this deal. It was lawlessly implemented in the U.S. because Obama didn't abide by. He signed a law, Corker Cardin, that said he had to give all of the side deals and all of the pieces of this nuclear agreement to Congress to review. He obviously didn't do that. So any implementation of this is in violation of U.S. law. As you said, the Iranians went ahead and wrote their own version of it, adding anything they wanted into it. So I'm hard-pressed to find this as anything but vaporware. There's no there there.
Yeah, in addition to the fact, we heard these assertions by Obama officials that this is going to bring Iran into the community of nations. Oh, really? Well, Iran recently sent hundreds of troops to Syria to fight with the Assad regime and sent in Hezbollah to fight. And it recently indicted Jason Rezaian, a Washington Post reporter, as a spy. Their behavior on the international stage has grown worse since the end of this deal. In fact, that was the subject of a October 21st Washington Post editorial, the top editorial: Iranian behavior gets worse despite Iran deal.
Well, maybe that's what he meant, though. You know, maybe with people like he likes to associate with, you know, he's making friends with Putin, he's hanging around with a bunch of bad people. Maybe he just assumed that bringing Iran into the community of nations meant they could do more bad stuff with air cover from the UN and everybody else, because that's what you get as a member of the non-existent community of nations. So what, if anything, can be done to stop this train wreck from handing the Iranians what will, you know, a nuclear weapons capability that will lead to an arms race across that whole region?
Well, there is an effort by House members to bring legal action against the White House for violating the law in moving forward with the Iran deal, because the White House did not turn over the side deal documents. I think this is very important, because not only did they not turn over the side deal documents, I think this was national security fraud. I believe White House officials wrote the side deal documents to hide an arrangement where Iranians would collect against themselves from Congress in a secret agreement that Congress could not see. And I talked to a number of experts, and there's reasons to believe this based on the way one of these documents is written. It clearly is written by a third party, and I don't think it's a forgery, according to, and this is based on the Associated Press. Congress has to push forward with that. I also believe the more pressure Congress can put on the White House and on international corporations over this deal, maybe we can limit the damage by convincing companies not to invest in Iran, because the next Republican president will tear this agreement up on his or her first day in office.
Well, and that's kind of the point. Because Obama, you know, took what is a treaty and declared it an executive action, he basically forfeited any right for this to be an enduring agreement of any kind. So anybody who comes in next can look at it and say this is a bad idea, but we've got a year before that happens. So you do really believe that the pressure on some of these companies will stop them from doing it? I mean, a year's a long time if Iran is unleashed as they seem to be.
I think many companies aren't going to go into Iran anyway. It's not a particularly business-friendly environment. But, I mean, let's be clear. There's going to be a lot of damage done to U.S. national security before Mr. Obama leaves office. Just look what's happening in Syria right now. But I don't think we can give up the fight. Republicans in the Senate and the House have to use every possible avenue to stop this deal and to convince anyone cooperating with it. We have to see legislators on the state level pass laws to not lift state-level sanctions, to go to court, to not abide by this illegal executive agreement carried out by the president with Iran. There are many things we can do when we can't give up the fight.
Well, Fred, let's hope that the rest of us who are interested in national security, as this administration seems incapable of being, will continue to push those and make this an issue in the presidential campaign, because we have to elect someone who can change the course of U.S. foreign policy and get us out of empowering our enemies and stabbing our friends in the back. Folks, that's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio. Frank Gaffney will be back tomorrow. This is Jim Hansen signing off.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.